And guess what? We can come back tonight and have some more, can't we? You say, well, we testified this morning. You can testify every service, can't we? Amen. And I leaned over and told Brother Andrew, and this wasn't an indictment against the church. It was just, it's just that way sometimes. But I leaned over and told Brother Andrew, I said, it's kind of quiet in here this morning. And Brother Lady, I don't get nervous when people shout. I get nervous when it gets real quiet. Amen. I know sometimes God will quieten a service down. I understand that. And then I realize sometimes people get tired. Maybe they're just getting over sickness, you know. And so sometimes it runs through the church and affects it, you know. It's okay when it's that way occasionally, isn't it? But if it goes that way two or three services, I start getting worried, don't you? Because, you know, it doesn't take, you know how you bury somebody? One shovel at a time. Isn't that right? You know how you bury a church? Just one service at a time. But thank God it's not that way here. Amen. And don't ever want it to be that way. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning from Luke chapter 15. And my burden has just been that God would save sinners. And I tell you, if the Lord, I don't know what He's going to do. It's His business. I don't know where. I know I'm going to preach out of Luke 15 for a good while. I don't know, the Lord willing. But I don't know what He's going to do this year. But I was thinking about it this week. You know, if you preach the gospel, and we should, and most of the time I do, but if you preach the gospel every single Sunday morning, it's worth preaching, isn't it? I never get tired of hearing the gospel. And there's sinners here that need to be saved, amen? And you don't have to wait for a sermon. You've heard enough testifying this morning and singing about salvation that if you're lost, you just get up out of your seat and come. You say, well, what if you're preaching? It ain't going to bother me one bit to come anytime in this service. And if I feel like I need to keep preaching, I will. And if I don't, I'll quit. Amen. But if you're lost and God speaks to your heart, the invitation's always given. Isn't that right? To come to Jesus and accept Christ as your Savior. Luke chapter 15, if you'll stand with us, I want to read two verses of Scripture this morning. And then have a brief word of prayer and bring the message God has laid on our heart. Thank you for minding God in the service this morning. Luke 15 and verse 11. The Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Heavenly Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name, if you would help us this morning. I want to thank you for Lord, every testimony, the obedience of your people this morning. I want to thank you for the songs that have been sung. And I pray now you'll bless the preaching of your word. Save sinners that are nearest hell. May the gospel go forth. May sinners come and be saved. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I've been preaching the last few weeks as God would lead out of Luke chapter 15, beginning with what lost people had to say about Jesus in verse number 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, if Christ receives sinners, that means he would save sinners. And then we dealt with the lost sheep and then the lost silver. And here we come to this text this morning concerning the lost son. I want to preach this morning on this subject on the lost son who strayed. Amen. And if God lets me, I'm going to come back next Sunday and preach on the lost son who stayed, because both of these sons were lost. Amen. One of them strayed, as we'll see in this text this morning, and then the other one stayed. But both of them represent the two classifications of sinners that we read about in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. The young son represents the publicans and the scribes, the publicans and the sinners in verse number 1. And then the elder son, he represents the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, one in sense was a bad boy, like the sinners, and we read about in verse number 1, and the other one was in one sense a good boy, like we read about the sinners in verse number 2. But it doesn't matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner, you're still a sinner. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we look at these three stories put together, we realize that it's important to note this morning that the shepherd represents the Savior who was seeking the lost sheep, and the woman represents the Spirit
Nazareth who was searching for lost souls. And the Father represents the Heavenly Father who welcomes any sinner that will come back and receive Him as their Father. These sinners in these texts, they represent and can be seen as a straying sheep and as a soiled piece of silver that is buried in the dust, and then as a self-willed son that is going his own way and doing his own thing. Amen. We think about these stories this morning. The son is suffering. We're talking about the Son of God. He suffers as he takes his journey into the wilderness to find the lost sheep. And then the Spirit seeks diligently to find that lost sinner that is in desperate need. And then the Father sings and he celebrates as the sinner comes home. I mean, think about it. The shepherd took the journey. The woman seeks out. And the Father welcomes the sinner as they come to God. If you think about all three of these stories here, you think about the sheep. It is a sheep that is lost to safety as he wanders out into the from the fold. And the silver is lost in the dust. I mean buried beneath the sin of this old world. And the son is in disgrace as he goes out. The son disgraces the name of his father. The sheep is lost out in the world. The sinner's lost in the silver is lost in the house, which would represent the church. There's people that's lost out in this world, but then there's people lost that come to church every single Sunday, and then the son represents people that are lost in the home. Amen. You think about it this morning. There are people that grow up in an old-fashioned church in a godly Christian home, but they never get born again. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and you're in a good church, and you are in a good church, and you got good parents that love you and take you to Sunday school and they take you to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you're lost, I tell you, you're just like this boy I'm going to preach on this morning. You're a lost boy. You're a lost girl. You're a lost man in a good place, but yet you're still lost at home. Amen. It's a tragedy. The elder son never did, as far as we know, turn to his father, even though he lived in the presence of his father's home all the days of his life. Now, there's something I want us to think about, and then we'll give you the thought this morning concerning the lost son who strayed. The Bible says concerning the sheep, the silver, and the son, it talks about it being lost. Now, think about this morning, the shepherd. The Bible said that if he loses one sheep, and then it talks about the woman, if she loses one piece of silver. And then the father, he lost the son. Now, it raises the question this morning, can God lose anything? Amen? I mean, when you think about God knows everything, and he knows where everything is, and he knows every star. He knows where every star is in the universe. God knows every grain of sand. He knows every grain of sand that's upon the seashore and in the bottom of the ocean. God knows the hairs that are on our head. He knows everything, and he knows where everything is. Isn't that right? I mean, a sparrow cannot even fall from to the ground that what God does not see it and know it. So how can the shepherd representing Jesus and the woman representing the Spirit and the Father representing, or the Son, or the Father representing the Heavenly Father, how can they lose anything? Well, it's like this right here. There's a difference in losing something by accident. God can never lose anything by accident. For there is no accidents with God. I believe in providence, don't you? We believe God is sovereign. We believe God is all-knowing. So God does not lose anything by accident. But I'll tell you, just like a parent loses a child to this world, the father loses the son to this world. Just like when Adam sinned in the garden, Adam lost in the garden, didn't he? But not only did Adam lose, but God lost in the garden. You say, what do you mean? Well, Adam, he became just like the sheep. He strayed from God. He became just like the silver, buried into this world, and he lost his glory. The Bible said they when they sinned, they knew they were naked. How did they know that? The Shekinah glory left them, and they went from a state of innocence to a state of consciousness. Now they saw themselves as they really were, and they lost that glory. And Adam lost, he lost everything. He strayed like a sheep. He lost his eternal value just like the silver, and he was driven out of paradise into this world. I'll tell you, when he went out into this world, it was just like God, just like when a parent loses their child to this world or loses them to sin. Doesn't mean they don't love them. It doesn't mean they lost them by accident, but Adam made a conscious choice, and that choice not only affected him, but it affected heaven that day. Amen. The heart of God was broken, just like the heart of any parent. And when we come to our text this morning, I noticed the man in our text. Jesus said here, and he said, a certain man. Notice the man and his beginning. This man represents our Heavenly Father. We know that God has no beginning and God has no end. But in this text here this morning, we see the beginning of this man in this story, and how the story leads us to see every sinner that needs God. And we see this man, a certain man. Here is this father's beginning in this text. And then we see his blessing. The Bible said that he had something. He had two possessions in this text, and I want to tell you what he has in verse 11 is more valuable to him than anything else he owns. And we know that because when the younger son comes and says, Father, would you give me the portion of goods that fall to me? You know what that father did? He didn't even say anything. He just gave him the portion of goods. You know why he did that? Because that boy meant more to him than anything he had on the farm. Amen? And then when the elder son, who was just as lost, came around and said, well, you never gave me a kid. He said, son, everything I got belongs to you. You know why? Because the father loved these two boys. I'm telling you, this was the greatest blessing that this father had. It was not wrapped up in the possessions or the things. That's what these boys were all about. And I'll tell you what the father was all about. He was all about the boys. Amen. I'm telling you, his blessings, what he found joy in was not the things of this world, but it was in the life of his own son. You hear me, sinner, this morning? God bankrupt heaven for you. He loves you more than all the treasures of this world. He doesn't care about this world, the flowers and the trees and all the material, the things that come with it, but he gave you a soul. He gave you a part of him this morning. When God breathed into Adam, the Bible said the breath of life. It said that man became a living soul. Why is that? Because God loved man enough to impart unto him his eternal life. Amen. You see, an animal has a body, and he has a soul. He has a seat of emotions, but an animal does not have a spirit. I hate to break the news to some of you animal lovers out there. Maybe I shouldn't do this, but Fifi's not going to heaven. I know that's devastating to people. And enjoy them while they're here, but they don't have a spirit. I've heard people say that. Well, maybe. I said, no, maybe. I hate to break the news. Some of you getting more madder. I could preach on alcohol and it wouldn't tick you off. But because I told you your cat or your dog isn't going to heaven, you're tore out of frame right now. Well, it's just Bible, amen? They don't have a spirit, amen? To say they have a spirit puts them on the same level as me and you this morning, and to say that they were made in the image of God. Now, they're not made in the image of God. They're given to us to enjoy. Well, I never thought I'd preach on this, amen? I'm just trying to make the point this morning. You can enjoy them, hallelujah, but I don't know how anybody enjoys a cat, but that's beside the point. But I'm just trying to tell you this morning that, listen, they don't have a spirit, but thank God we do this morning. The grave is not the end. Amen. We're not going to a hollow ground somewhere. I'm telling you, when a person leaves this world, their spirit leaves their body. But just like when Jesus died on the cross, I'm telling you, our body may go in the ground, but our spirit goes to be with God. Hallelujah. Because man has been made an everlasting soul. And your soul this morning is more valuable. What's the real you is not your flesh. The real you is not your hair. That's the outer shell. That's a part of you. But the real you that's going to live forever in eternity is on the inside. These eyes that we look through are just windows of the soul. But beneath this old tent, this tabernacle this morning, I'm telling you, is an eternal soul. And friend, the soul never dies. And God gave you a soul. And God loves your soul this morning. He loves you. And I see the man and his beginning, the man and his blessings, and the man and his boys. The Bible said he had two sons. And you know, these two sons are different, but yet they're the same. They're different in the fact that one of them represents these first sinners in verse 1 who are just rough sinners. And the second one represents the religious crowd of sinners. But they're the same in the fact that they both need the Father. And they're both lost. And this morning, I don't know which side of the track you came from, and I don't know if you was raised in church or not raised in church, but I'll tell you, if you're lost this morning, you need to be found. Amen? If you're lost, you need to be saved. You say, well, I just don't know where I'm at. Well, think about this. The sheep went out and got lost in total ignorance. That sheep, he wandered out into his lostness, and he wandered away. Now, a sheep doesn't know much, but I think that sheep knew what it was to feel lost, amen, because he wasn't in the pasture with the other sheep. He wasn't around the shepherd that he knew, and so that sheep knew what it was to feel lost, amen. But that silver, it didn't feel anything. It didn't have no life in it. That silver's just dead. It doesn't feel anything. It's lost and doesn't even know it's lost. I'm telling you, there's some people, they know they're lost. They can feel that they're lost. They know there's something missing on the inside. They know there's an emptiness. And then there are sinners that don't even know they're lost without God. They're living in total ignorance. They're dead to self and dead to sin. I tell you, this boy, you know what he does? He knows he's lost. He walked away from the Father. He didn't stray. He didn't get lost in his indebtedness, but he made a conscious choice. And because he walked away from the Father, he's got to come back to the Father. And sinner Adam made a conscious choice when he sinned in the garden. He walked away from God. And because of that, man must come back to God. But I'm glad he doesn't forget us. I'm glad he doesn't leave us to ourselves. You may have strayed out in this world, and you may be lost, but I want to tell you, there's a Father that's looking and waiting. There's a shepherd that is looking and searching. There's a spirit that wants to deliver you this morning if you'll come. And I notice in this text here, this lost son, he has not taken the journey yet. But I want you to notice verse number 12 this morning, just a few thoughts and I'll be done. I want you to see the lost son is speaking. As the Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father. It's interesting that this boy is doing all the talking when he ought to do some listening. You know, if you never get sinners to slow down and just listen and give them the gospel, they may see their need for Christ. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to have it all figured out like this boy. I mean, this boy's got all the answers. He comes to his father and he speaks to him. He's already got it planned out what he's going to say to his father. He's already got it figured out what he's going to ask him. It has nothing to do with any gratefulness or any respect whatsoever, but this lost boy is speaking. I want to tell you, we have to be careful how we talk to God and how we talk about God. Can we get an amen right there? Sinners curse his name. They damn his son, and they never think about the consequences of that. All the while, the mercy and the grace of God steals the judgment of God in their life and gives them breath to live another day just to curse the name of God and go on down in their sinful ways of living, the world doesn't think anything about using the name Jesus Christ or the name God out of context and using it in a very vulgar, sometimes and in a very wicked fashion. But I'll tell you, God keeps a record this morning. He knows every time it's rolled off a sinner's lips. I'm telling you, one of the things that ought to be preached in this day and time is there needs to be more of a fear and a reverence for God Almighty, for His Son, and for His house. Can I get an amen right there? I hear some things that people say, and I'm sure you do too. Sinners, and it sends a cringe up my spine. You know, growing up, I didn't pay cussing a lot of attention as a kid because we heard it a lot around family, and I'm not proud of that. Honestly, I wouldn't even pay any attention to it. But it's amazing someone could say God's name in a vain way. And even lost, it would get my attention. Like, are they supposed to be saying that? Other words I didn't pay no attention to, but when someone damned the name of God, it would. I remember I had a family member that used to say it often, and I always thought, boy, he's going to get in trouble if he don't stop that. That's true this morning. But people curse God. This young man, he had no respect for his father. He had no respect for the one that had given him life. And I tell you, you may be lost this morning, but you don't recognize the fact you're living in God's world and you're breathing God's air and you're living on God's planet. Amen? And the Lord, it's Him that decides whether or not our heart beats another beat, whether or not our lungs draws another breath. It's Him that decides, amen, if we see another sunrise or another sunset. It's God that gets every one of us up in the morning and allows us to go to bed at night. I'm telling you, sinner, this morning you ought to stop and think about it. The only reason you're not in hell right now is because of God's mercy and God's grace has kept you all these years. Even though you're lost, He has kept you so you could hear the gospel and be saved. I had a man that got saved, and he testified that he nearly took his life several years before that. And he said he came so close to taking his life, but then he, for whatever the reason was, he didn't say, but he didn't do that. And he said it wasn't until after he got saved that it dawned on him. If he'd have pulled that trigger, worse than death, he would have woke up in hell. You see, that's the tragedy that sinners don't know. That when they leave this world, this is the best life they'll ever know. They wake up in hell. See, if you're lost this morning and you get out there in your car and you go down the road and you're killed in an automobile accident, that could happen to me, that could happen to anybody. Well, I understand that. And I'll tell you, if I get killed in an automobile accident, you know what? I'll see you on the other side. Amen. I'll meet you in the morning. Amen. I'll see you down by the river of life. Thank God. I'll just be outside the eastern gate. Hallelujah. We might weep and we might cry, but we know that's not the end. I'll be back on resurrection morning. We're coming back. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, it's awful, amen, to get killed in an accident. But to know in that split second you're in the arms of God and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, that's comfort. Amen. And I'm telling you, sure as that's comfort, it's awful to think about somebody that would be in an automobile accident and get killed and they're not saved. And as terrible as that accident, as painful as that may be, they just leave that and go into something that is a million times harder and more a turmoil and tragedy and torture than anything else. They wake up in hell. Amen. Well, if I was lost, I'd get saved. I'd get saved this morning. I'm talking about if you're here and you say, well, I don't know Jesus and I'm not born again. Friend, you need to come to the Father. The lost son who is speaking in this text, he's not listening. He's just speaking. And the lost son who is selfish, the Bible said he said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, in the Old Testament, whenever a father, he left the inheritance, the majority of the inheritance to the elder. Isn't that right? The birthright. And then what was left was passed on down. A certain portion went to the elder son. But those that were younger, they don't get that, none of that inheritance until the father is dead. Amen? And so when this younger son bypasses and comes and says, give me the portion of good that follows me, what in essence he's saying is that I just assume you be dead. I'm not willing to wait to get what is mine. Go ahead and let me have it now. You see, to this son, the father was already dead. And to sinners out in this world, he may have given them life, but to them our heavenly Father is just dead to them. Amen. You see, God is the creator of all men, and we are all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Amen. A lot of times people say, well, you know, we're all God's children. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, Ephesians 2 said that when we were not saved, when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, we were children of wrath, even as others, amen? In other words, we belong to the devil, amen? We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. You say, well, I want to be God's child. You got to get born again and get in God's family. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? You got to repent of your sins. But this father was dead to this son, and he says, give me. All he wanted was what he could have from the Father. Now I tell you, if you get saved this morning, you cannot come and get saved with a selfish heart to just get what you want. Amen. Some people use God as a spare tire. They use him as a get out of jail free card. Well, I got in trouble. I know God can use it. But some people, their repentance is not real because all they're wanting is they're just wanting to get out of the mess that they're in. They're really not wanting. They just want God to give them something. Just give me something and get me out of the mess I'm in. Just give me something to benefit me. That's the way this son was. He didn't realize that the greatest treasure he's got is not the things that the Father is giving to him. The greatest treasure that this boy has is in verse number 12, and it's his Father. Amen. And he has to come to himself. He has to get so low. He has to get to the bottom so far down to realize that life is not about what you have, but it's about who you need. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not what this boy needed. It was who this boy needed. He didn't need more things, but he needed the one that had given him everything. And I want to tell you, sinner, the things of this world will never satisfy you. Booze will never satisfy you. Drugs will never satisfy you. Perversion will never satisfy you. Religion will never satisfy you. It's not what you need. It's who you need. Hallelujah. You know, it's a good day when you realize when we go to heaven, you know what we get when we go to heaven? Hey, listen to me. We get him. Thank God. I know heaven's going to be a beautiful place. But I don't want to go to heaven just to see a wall of jasper or a gate of pearl. In fact, if that wasn't even there, I'd still want to go to heaven, wouldn't you? You see, heaven's not about what we can see or what we can get. Well, I want to go to heaven because I'll tell you what makes heaven is not all the city and the lights. It's not all the things that the Bible talks about. What makes heaven is Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, if heaven wasn't nothing but a dirt road, if Jesus was standing at the end of it, I'd still want to go, wouldn't you? I'd still want to leave this world and go to where he is. He's what makes it wonderful. It's not what we need. It's who we need. I didn't found an it or a thing, but thank God I found him, and he found me. And sinner, he'll find you. He's the most wonderful treasure you could ever have. I like that old song, I found a treasure when I found the Lord. I'll tell you, it takes all the selfishness out, doesn't it? This boy is full of selfishness, but the Father, he just gives it to him. You know, if I'd have been the father, I don't know if I'd have done that. But the father loved this boy. And sinner, I want to tell you something. You think about this, sinner. Here you are today, lost without God. But the father, he loves you enough. He's been good to you. You know, if a lost man walked in this building today and stood up and said, preacher, can I give a word of testimony? I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord, but I just want to publicly thank the Lord for giving me life
for giving me a family, for giving me health, and for giving me strength. I couldn't argue with that point this morning. Lost people don't do that, but the truth is, that is true. Think about before you got saved, how good God was to you before you got saved. He could have just let us went to hell. Or He could have just gave us such a misery. I'll tell you, the devil will ruin you. But God, He was good to us even before we got saved. And He's better to us after we get saved. And I'm going to tell you, sinner, mercy runs out. Grace runs out. This boy's going to lose everything he's got because what he's got is not what he needs. He needs God. And sinner, what you have is not what you need. I'm telling you, you may have a fancy house and you may have a nice car and you may have a lot of things in your garage or wherever. You may have a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you something. Life does not consist of the abundance of things. I'm telling you, I'd rather be broke and know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'd rather everything I got burn up and get it. It can all be gone one of these days. And I'm telling you, when it's gone or when I'm gone, hallelujah, I got something on the inside that's going to last throughout eternity. Amen. I'll be gone one of these days. And people will have to come around and divide up and get rid of everything because it won't have its meaning no more. But I tell you, Jesus Christ, He means everything. And I see the lost son is selfish. And finally, the lost son is straying. He gets everything the Father gives him, and he leaves. You know, when people get born again, they have a desire to live for God. You want to go to church? You want to serve God? You know, when Sunday morning rolls around, I want to go to church, don't you? I know sometimes we might get sick or tired or something like that, and it may affect us. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about overall. When God saved my soul, I wanted to go to church. I remember my uncle told me one time, he said, you know, you're going to church way too much. I thought about that when you was testifying. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't you know that going to church all the time will make you lose your mind? I said, what do you mean? He said, look at people that go to church, they go crazy. They become fanatics when you do it too much. You know, I took one look at him. Been married four times. And I'm not beating up on people. I'm just saying I took one good look at him. And I knew other things I could say I know about him. And there he's standing there with a Budweiser hat on and no shirt and cut off shorts and flip flops. And he's trying to tell me about y'all being crazy. I said, you know what? I don't think I'll take any counsel from him. And I wasn't but 14, but I didn't know much, but I knew that ain't the route I'm going. You know how I knew that? I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. But there was somebody living on the inside that said, you don't want to go that route. That's what sin will do to you. And I love him. I want you to know that. That's what sin will do to you. That's what drinking alcohol will do to you. Amen. I'm telling you, I hear these people, they go to church and they act like it's all right to have a toddy now and then. I'm telling you, if they knew what, I've never drank alcohol, but if they knew what I knew, if they'd seen just half of the things that I've seen growing up as a kid, what it'll do to you and to your family and to your children and to your life. I'm telling you, I thank God 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times over that a little bus came by one day and picked me up, and I never tasted booze a day in my life. I'm telling you, I popped the top off a lot of them. I brought them out of the refrigerator more times than I could remember. But hallelujah, thank God, one day I drank from a fountain that has never run dry, praise God. And I've never drank that devil's poison. By the grace of God, I never plan on it. And I'm glad that Jesus got me before Miller got me, hallelujah. Don't you thank God you're saved?
I'm telling you, you young people ought to shout from here to glory that you've never smoked a joint, you've never drank that stuff. It's wicked. It's a mess. Amen. It'll ruin everything. There's nothing cool about it. Ain't nothing cool about turning a pop up. I've seen women guzzle it and then belch like a 6 foot man. Boy, that's real attractive. That's, hey, you don't get a guy like that. Come on now, don't y'all die. I know I'm past 12 o'clock, and I'm going to preach till I'm done. I'm telling you, thank God. Hey, you know what? A preacher ought to preach on alcohol at least 10 times a year to find out if any members are drinking it. I'm telling you, if you're a member of this church and you drink alcohol, we're going to have a private meeting. Can I get an amen right there? There ain't nothing spiritual about that. Well, I'm telling you what sin will do to you. Stay as far away from that mess as you can. This old boy had to find out the hard way. Oh, listen to me. Don't find out the hard way. There's enough people in this church that God saved them and rescued them, and they could stand up and they could tell you, you don't want to find out the hard way. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Gravely, I'm like that boy. I've ruined my life in sin. Well, I got good news for you. The Father, He never wanted that boy to leave, but he was thrilled to death when he came home. Hey, sinner, you might have went out there and ruined your life and all that stuff. You don't have to tell people all that. That's not a good testimony, is it? You don't have to talk about it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can come home and you can get right with God. You come down this aisle, this old-fashioned altar, and you say, well, God, take me. He'll take you. He'll take you just the way you are. My daddy was talking to two kin folks one day. One of them was trying to witness to him, and he said, I don't hear nothing you got to say. He said, you turn the bottles up every bit as much as I do. He said, you're in the same shape I'm in. My dad knew enough lost, he knew that if he ever got saved, he quit drinking. I don't know why God won't let me get off that this morning. But I tell you, when he got saved, he poured it all down the drain. And Brother Laddie, he never picked it up again. That's what God can do for you. 42 years drinking that liquor and drinking that beer. We used to go to school and we'd put our sandwiches in Crown Royal bags. And anything we had. Daddy, we have that Crown Royal bag, a little purple bag with a drawstring on it. And we had no idea. We had no idea. Put a sandwich in there and carry it. I'm glad this morning my kids never knew anything about that. I opened that refrigerator one day to get something out of it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Did you believe God could bless you when you're opening the refrigerator? Open that refrigerator, and the Holy Spirit leaned in my ear and said, son, look in there. You see all that food? You remember what it was when there was nothing in the refrigerator but a six-pack of beer? He said, there's never been no beer in your and your wife's refrigerator. I'm telling you, I stood there and I said, thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I ought to be a drunk this morning. But thank you, God, for rescuing me. Hey, you want to be rescued from sin this morning? Listen to me, young man, young lady. You're sitting in church this morning. You got a good Christian home, but you're lost. You got a good mama and a good daddy that takes you to church, but you're lost this morning. Don't you want to be saved? Look how good God has been to you. Don't let pride keep you in that pew and send your soul to hell. I want to tell you something, little boy, little girl, you can go to hell. This little boy could go to hell, and I know you're saved, but that boy could, if he wasn't saved, he could go to hell just like a grown man could go to hell. Because you're young don't mean you're going to live to be old. Teenager, young man, young lady, you need to be saved this morning. You got godly parents. You think the Holy Ghost is going to keep begging you Sunday in and Sunday out to get saved? I tell you, you're sadly mistaken if you think that. You tell God no Sunday in and Sunday out, no, no, not today, not today, not today. I tell you what, there will come. There will come a day when God will not bother you anymore. And you can sit in church till you die, till you're gray-headed, and He will not speak to you no more. It's Proverbs 1, friend. Because I stretched forth my hand, and you refused. I called, but you would not answer. God said, therefore, when your calamity, your fear cometh and your calamity cometh as a whirlwind, God said, then shall you call unto me. You know what the Bible says God will do? He said, I'll laugh. Hey, listen to me, young person. God said, I'll laugh. It's not a joyful laugh. It's a scoff. Like, oh, what are you? No, you're too late. You're too late. You had your chance. I begged you week in and week out. You said no and no. So many times you said no. God said, you want to be left alone? I'll leave you to yourself. I believe that sometimes, and I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I can't say who, but I do believe this. I believe there's people that preachers have preached their guts out to. And they're not moving, friend. And I don't know if they're just so cold and God deals with them and they just shake it off. Or I don't know if their day of visitation is gone. There's people that we'll preach to a lifetime. Listen to me. We'll preach to them a lifetime. And they'll go to hell. They'll go to hell. I'm telling you, there's going to be people. It's a great white throne judgment. Oh God, that I will have pastored and other men will have pastored. They never got in. They heard the same messages, went to the same meetings, but they never got in because they said no for the last time. It's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing when God knocks on your heart and woos you. The God of heaven don't even have to pass your way. If He comes to your pew this morning while I'm preaching, and He, you know how close I came to not preaching this message this morning. People were testifying, and every bit of it was good, and the Holy Spirit said, you stay on target. You let them testify. I want you to preach this, sir. And I kept thinking, is that me or God? But He just kept on. That's the only way I know when it's God's, when it don't quit. And the more I preach this sermon this morning, I know. You know how serious it is for God to woo your heart and say, come and be saved. If you tell the Holy Ghost no, you're in big trouble, friend. You're in big trouble with God. You say, well, you mean big trouble? I mean, you don't have no promise He's ever going to deal with your heart again. And so this morning while we stand,